What does England's so-called Freedom Day mean for the nation's businesses? Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Today, England is lifting pandemic restrictions despite case counts continuing to surge. The country is registering about 50,000 coronavirus infections a day, and some scientists predict that could jump to 200,000 a day later this summer. But with nearly 70% of UK adults fully vaccinated, models suggest hospital admissions, serious illness, and deaths from COVID-19 will be lower than during previous peaks. So starting today in what's been called Freedom Day by many, mask wearing, capacity limits, and most social distancing are no longer legal requirements. The BBC's Rob Young has been talking to a number of business owners today who have been deciding which requirements they will want to keep in place.
This is a really big day for an awful lot of companies across England because some, such as pubs and restaurants and cinemas, have only been able to allow a certain proportion of people into their venues. That changes from today. They can fill every table, every seat if they want to. Others, such as nightclubs, are opening for the first time. And so a lot of companies hope that this is the time when they will not just break even, but they'll begin to turn a profit. And what has changed is the rules that have governed people's behaviour over COVID-19 in England are being scrapped. It is now up to businesses to decide what is and isn't allowed in their premises on things like checking into venues on the National Health Service app, or whether they should wear a mask or a face covering when walking around venues. And a lot of companies have decided that they are going to leave this to the discretion of employees and customers because they don't want their employees to have to be tackling members of the public saying, "Excuse me, sir, would you mind putting on a face covering?" because they may not get a great reaction. Here's the boss of Pure Gym, which has hundreds of sites across the UK. He's Humphrey Cobbold.
We have a broad church of 1.1 million members, and we believe it's untenable to ask thousands of colleagues to enforce a law that doesn't exist, essentially. So we'll be taking a sort of an open approach on that. And with the other measures we have in place, we're confident that gyms remain a safe place to work and a safe place to work out.
So, Rob, setting rules is one part of this equation for businesses. Another is just having workers available to come into work because they keep getting pinged by the NHS Test and Trace app, which requires them to stay home and self-isolate.
Yeah, even as the economy in England pretty much completely reopens, the number of positive coronavirus cases is rising. And that means that the number of people coming into contact with the positive case is also going up. And so, yeah, the National Health Service Test and Trace program, or the NHS COVID-19 app, is contacting people. They're being pinged to tell them that they need to self-isolate for 10 days. And that is meaning for an awful lot of companies that they are short of workers. So we know that dozens of pubs have had to close. Some supermarkets have had to reduce their opening hours because they're short of staff. It's been called the pingdemic. United Kingdom is how one business leader referred to the country to me today. Here's Nick McKenzie, the chief executive of Green King, which has thousands of pubs, restaurants and hotels across the UK.
It is disruptive to the business. We had to close last week in the last 7 days, 33 pubs due to lack of staff because of self-isolation. Across the industry, we think the number is about 1 in 5. We hope we can get through it. We're working hard to get through it, but I think we need some clarity from government on how the app works. But more importantly, we need them to move to a test and release scheme where people can take a lateral flow test on a daily basis and come into work and get us back to normal again.
There is now this clamour from business leaders to try to get the government to radically transform the test and trace system so that people who've had both coronavirus vaccines, if they are in contact with a positive case, don't have to self-isolate for 10 days. Maybe they just have to take a test every morning before they go to work, because at this big moment when they're able to fill every table, fill every seat, open without constraints, they're really worried they're going to have to close again because they haven't got enough employees.
The BBC's Rob Young for us. Thanks for your time this morning.
You're very welcome.
As we check the numbers now, the FTSE 100 is down 1.9% to a two-month low. That's a trend echoed across the world today amid concerns about spread of the Delta COVID-19 variant and the effect on economies continuing to reopen now. Global oil prices are off 2%, while stock market benchmarks in Paris, Frankfurt, and Milan are down in the 1.9 to 2.6% range. Stocks across Asia also ended their session solidly lower. In Tokyo, a number of Olympic athletes and officials have either been infected with coronavirus or are in quarantine due to close contact with someone who's been infected. Cases in Japan have more than doubled in the last month. Now, some sponsors are thinking twice about their involvement in the event, set to kick off this Friday. Toyota said executives will not attend the opening ceremony, and it has scaled back planned advertising. The BBC's Alex Capstick has that story from Tokyo.
As one of the IOC's biggest sponsors, Toyota ploughs millions of dollars into the Olympic movement. But despite all of their financial support, the company has decided it's wrong to attend an opening ceremony where fans have been barred because of rising COVID cases. The company has also decided not to run any games-related adverts on Japanese television, although they will be shown abroad. In May, a leading official from the car giant said they were conflicted over the best course of action amid concerns that the games were taking place.
That's Alex Capstick reporting there. To Germany now, where the catastrophic floodwaters are receding, though the death toll continues to rise. Chancellor Angela Merkel has expressed shock at the scale of last week's devastation, which caused billions of dollars in damage. Later this week, she's expected to roll out an emergency aid package for those affected. The BBC's Damian McGuinness reports from the village of Nürnberg.
A group of young women gently help an elderly lady in a wheelchair choose clothes among piles of donations. She, like so many, lost everything in the floods. I was saved by a neighbour who carried me out of the window over the water, she tells me, before breaking down in tears. Volunteers are working non-stop, says Michaela, who's taken time off work to help out.
It's like an anthill. You just walk in there, you see work, you do it, and finally you're in a group of people, and it just works, and that's amazing. That's what humanity is all about.
This place is usually a sports stadium, but now it's been turned spontaneously into a donation centre. Around me, hundreds of volunteers are busily packing boxes. They're sorting through supplies, which constantly keep arriving in vans from all over Germany. Food, water, clothes, bedding, everything you'd need to survive. Army helicopters ferry supplies to cut-off areas as convoys of ambulances stream past. Germany clearly has both the resources and the willingness on the ground to help. Now, the government has to stick to its pledge of getting financial help to those who need it.
That's Damian McGuinness there reporting from Nürnberg on the western side of Germany. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.